Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. Got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up later this hour at 7:45. Weekend winners at 8:30 on the program today. All that ahead. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Game by game. It's time to go game by game. Now that the Titans schedule is out, just roll through it. Rexroad, would you like to do the honors? Would you like to go first? How do you want to do this?
Well, I think we should go one at a time? Yeah.
Okay.
We should all go each game, right?
Okay, let's do that. Let's start here. The New York Jets at home. Robert Saleh taking on his old team. First game of the season. A home opener for the Tennessee Titans, which I don't think has happened since 2022. Is that the last time they've opened the season?
Was that the Giants game?
I believe so.
That they bungled?
It was the Giants game that they bungled in 2021. I think they opened at home against Arizona, and Taylor Lewan gave up 1,000 sacks in one game.
Yeah.
And then was recognized heading back on the field.
He was. Get your butt back out there, Dylan Lewan.
Still one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It was awesome. So, Ian Safar, let's begin with you. Who do you have between the Tennessee Titans and the New York Jets in week one?
Okay, I think I have to put this one as a should win.
There we go.
Yeah. Home game against the Jets, week one, should win.
There we go.
Oh, like wait. Are you doing like the should? We're doing the Stilly thing?
I am, yeah. That's my scientific formula that I've
developed,
adopted. Yeah,
there you go.
Are we gonna do?
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. What's that?
They're winning. That's what I'm doing. I'm picking wins and losses.
Okay. All right. So
Titans are 1-0.
I will type in your should.
Okay.
Ian.
Yeah, you can add that as a win. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do a win too. I mean, it's yeah, I know.
Oh boy.
I know. But I mean.
It is the Jets.
Yeah. It's like Geno, I think, is kind of washed now. And I think the Titans defense has a chance to come right out and be pretty good. So I'll take the dub.
All right. Philadelphia Eagles in game number two for the Tennessee Titans at home. Back to back home games to begin the season. Joe Rexroad, who we got between the Titans and the Eagles?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I don't think A.J. Brown will be part of this. I don't think it'll be an A.J. Brown homecoming. I think he'll be on the New England Patriots, but I'll take the Eagles to win that game.
Yeah, I will quickly take the Philadelphia Eagles to drop the Titans to 1-1. Ian Safar?
I'll join you. Should lose.
Okay.
Not a will should lose, know. But should lose.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Moving to
remind me of your categories. Will, should.
Toss up.
But see, these toss ups, you got to go dub and L, man.
I will.
Okay.
But they even out.
Okay.
As we go through, I got four toss ups.
Okay.
They equal two wins at some point.
There you go. There you go.
Science, math.
Okay.
A lot of formulas going on here. At the New York Giants. So, two New York teams in the first 3 weeks. I'll start on this one. Give me a dub. Titans take down the Jets and the Giants. The whole city of New York crying. The state of New Jersey crying when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. Titans start the season 2-1. Joe Rexroad on the road against the Giants.
Yeah, I've got the same. I mean, you can't get revenge on Robert Saleh's employer and not do the same thing with Brian Daboll's employer.
That's right.
I think it'll be harder because obviously Harbaugh's a good coach, And very interested to see what Jackson Dart is, just like I'm very interested to see what Cam Ward is in year two. But I'll give the – let's say Wandell Robinson makes a couple plays and the Giants miss him.
Going against your boy Scadaboo. Ian Safar, who we got?
That's
concussions? They don't exist.
What's is he going to be ready for the season?
I have no idea.
He broke his ankle, didn't he? Pretty bad. Giants, at the Giants, road game. Yep. Should lose.
There you
Loss.
Go.
Mm, yep.
Okay.
There you go. I like it.
Okay. So.
Do we even need to discuss the at Baltimore game? Does anybody have them winning that game?
No. I don't know what the heck Baltimore's going to be.
I think
this
that's my only will lose of the season.
Okay.
That's your only will lose?
Yeah.
You guys, I mean, last year I was too high on Baltimore. I mean, I certainly think they could be really good, but like Jesse Minter as a head coach, I don't know. You know? I mean, is Derrick Henry immortal? He might be, actually.
He's going to run for 300 yards.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've all got losses. So 2-2 for us, 1-3 for Ian.
That is correct. At home against the Houston Texans on Sunday, October the 11th. Joe Rexroad, what we got?
I'm going to give them a win. Every time I give them a win, I'm going to be like, I'll give them a win. But, the Texans, obviously, I think they're the surest thing in this division. But, yeah, I'll give them a win.
Okay.
I don't have great reasoning.
Okay.
It's a home game. It's a rivalry.
That's the best defense in the NFL. Loss for the Tennessee Titans. Dropping down to 2-3. Ian, who we got?
Should lose. Yep.
Okay.
It's a home game. I'll give him a should.
Okay. There you go. On the road against Indianapolis. Back-to-back divisional games. Ian, start us off with that one.
Yeah, road game. It's a loss. I got to put it as a should lose.
I mean, I have a lot of questions about the Colts. Is Daniel Jones going to be healthy? If he is he going to be any good again? But I'll go loss on that one to drop the Titans to 2-4. Rex, what do we got?
Yeah, I'm going to give the Colts that one in Indy. Certainly, just like a lot of these games, I mean, you can make a case, but we'll go loss there.
Back at home against the Cleveland Browns. Could be a matchup again of highly anticipated quarterbacks. We'll see who's playing quarterback for Cleveland at that time, but it could be Pro Bowler Shedeur Sanders right back in the saddle for the Browns again. I'll start us off on this one. Give me a win against the Cleveland Browns, even though every time they play against Myles Garrett, it scares me. They actually did a pretty good job against Myles Garrett last year, all things considered. I'll take the Titans at home getting a win against the Cleveland Browns. Ian Safar, what we got in that one?
Yep, I got a should win on this one.
There we go.
I'm not going to go will win, but I'm going to go should, though I consider it a will.
Okay.
Should win. Browns.
How many will do you have?
How many will wins? No, I do not. That was probably my closest one right there.
Closest to a will?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Joe, who we got?
Well, I'm going win. I got the Titans at 4-3 right now, boys.
Yeah,
Titans are right in the mix, baby.
Okay. On the road against the Cincinnati Bengals, back-to-back games against teams from Ohio. Joe Rexroad, who we got in that one?
I will take Joe Burrow and company in this one.
Yeah, I will too. I think it's not that I think the Bengals are some juggernaut. That could be a pretty high scoring game when it comes down to it. But I don't foresee the Titans stopping Jamar Chase. So that's a tough one. I'll go Cincinnati to win that one. Ian Safar, what we got?
Should lose. Yep, on the road, good team.
So heading into the bye week, I believe Rexroad. What do you have? The Titans 4-4.
Sitting there at 4-4.
I've got him at 3-5. Ian at 2-6. Is that where we are at this point? So, again, pretty good time for the bye week there. Coming off of it at home against Jacksonville in the first of two matchup against Jacksonville in a three-week span. The home game against Jacksonville. Ian, who we got?
I considered this one a toss-up, but I went with should lose just because I think Jacksonville is pretty good.
Okay. I will go loss in that one against the Jacksonville Jaguars, unfortunately. That would be three wins in a row. If the Jags get it against the Titans under the James Gladstone era, which at some point the Titans got to figure out a way to not let that happen. Joe Rexford, who we got?
Titans dub.
There we go.
5-4 Tennessee Titans.
Wow. How about that?
I did not do drugs today.
How about that? On the road against the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry World. Joe, kick us off with that one.
That one I will give to Dak and company. I'll give that to the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys might actually be kind of good this year.
I think they might be. They have done some work on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see what that looks like.
Yeah.
I don't think Rashawn Gary is going to be particularly effective, but we'll see. Give me the Dallas Cowboys to win that one as well. Ian, who we got on the road against Dallas?
Yep, at Dallas. Titans should lose that one. Okay. So I'm going with a loss.
Moving back to the Milky Pool against Jacksonville for the second matchup in 3 weeks against the Jags. I will once again take Duval in that one in Jacksonville. So the Jags sweep the Titans. Rexville, what we got?
Yep. I'm not picking the Titans to sweep anybody in this division. That just doesn't seem realistic to me. They'll lose the return game.
Ian?
Correct.
There we go. Washington at home. Let's go rapid fire here. I've got a win for the Titans against the Washington Commanders. Joe Rexrod?
I've got a loss there.
I put that one as a toss-up. It's a home game against Washington, but I'm going to put that toss-up as an L.
Okay, there we go. On the road against the Detroit Lions, Ian Safar, what we got on that one?
At Detroit, I put should lose. Considered will lose, but I went with should lose at Detroit.
I think the Titans will lose that game on the road against the Detroit Lions. Rexrod, do you have the Titans taking down the beloved Lions?
Damn right. No, I'm just kidding. Loss.
Wow. I'm kind of stunned.
I want to.
I know you do.
I really want to.
That's why I thought you would. At home against the Indianapolis Colts. Joe Rexrod, kick us off with that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna give them an L in this one. So the Colts with the sweep, sad to say.
Give me a win. They'll take down Indianapolis in the home game right before Christmas. Merry Christmas to Titans fans. You take down the Colts at home. Ian, what we got?
I got a toss-up in this one. Home game, divisional game. I'll sneak this toss-up into a win.
Okay. Yep. For the second consecutive season, Titans on the road in Vegas, taking on the Raiders. Rex, what do we got in that one?
Give me the Titans. By now, Mendoza will be playing.
Yep.
They'll be bad. The Titans will be bad. The Titans, at this point for me, I have the Titans at 5-9. So that's actually still in those graphics of like holding on to some faint playoff hopes, and they get a win to keep those alive.
I think they beat the Raiders as well on the road, taking down the Raiders. Ian, what we got in that one?
This is another toss up here. A little stretch of toss up games towards the end at the Raiders. I am also going to make this one a dub.
There we go. Sweep for the Titans against the Raiders with us. What will likely be the final home game in Nissan Stadium against, I presume, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll start us off. They win it, baby. They win the final home game in Nissan Stadium against the Steelers. Rex Roy, what we got?
Same. You gotta win the last one. You got to do it. And again, it's the logo, but it's Mike McCarthy and some shell of Aaron Rodgers or whatever, whoever the maybe Mason Rudolph will be starting by then. Give
Your
me
boy.
The Titans.
There we go. Ian, who we got?
I have this one as a toss-up, considering it's a home game in Pittsburgh. I'm not so sure. But I have to give this one an L.
There we go. Final against the finale against Houston on the road. I got a loss in that one.
Should lose that one for me. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So what does that put our final records at there?
I lost track of you guys, but for me, it's a pretty optimistic 7-10.
I had him at 6-9 or 6-11.
I got 4-13.
There you go.
Okay. Ian 4-13. And if Ian's right, oh, what a fun time it'll be this fall. Robbie 6-11, and I'm Mr. Homer at 7-10.
Hey, there you go.
There it is.
So those are your Titans game by game. Now that the schedule is out, we'll take your thoughts on that range that we have on the show, anywhere from 4-13 to 7-10. What are your expectations for the Tennessee Titans? More coming up next. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Rexrod's initial walk through the schedule has him at 7-10. I was at 6-11. Ian's at 4-13. Caleb on the text line says, man, 7-10 would feel like 15-2.
Would it?
Would it?
Is
I don't know if it would feel like that, but it would certainly be way more tolerable than 3-14.
Yeah.
Like being in the actual, I don't know about race, but being somewhat interesting in the last month of the season, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like, again, just December football of more meaning than, should I root for him to win or Like, do you think we could get Jeremiah Smith if we lose all, you know? Like, can you, like, so there's no arguments about whether you should root for the Titans or not, like in December, you know, in early December at least, mid-December maybe. Yes, they're still actually trying to get into the playoffs.
I hope we can move on from that anyway. I mean, you've already drafted a quarterback and a wide receiver pretty high, so
yeah, but Jeremiah
let's try
Smith,
to win.
Though. Yeah, but Jeremiah Smith, come on now.
I mean, I understand. I'd like to win some football games. That'd be great.
That would be probably preferable.
I mean,
if it's the alternative, loud again.
Let me tell you this: if it ends up going the way that Ian just said it would, and they're 4-13, guess what we'll be talking about? It won't be Jeremiah Smith. It'll be Cam Ward at that point.
Cam Ward, Mike Bergonzi.
Yeah,
Robert
that's
Sala.
What we'll be talking about at that point.
Yeah. Right. Should Bryce Wasserman coach and GM the team, et cetera.
Should the Titans finally stop messing around, get Kuharsky in there as GM? There's a lot of things that'll be discussed.
It is crazy that they haven't tried to hire him away.
I know.
From his own website.
One texter talking about how Rex Road knows the least amount of ball compared to everyone on the station. The least amount.
All right. Is this Big Joe's new number? I speculated that it might be a PK troll number. But that's definitely like a Big Joe type text. Let me tell you something, troll account. I'll put my ball knowing against everybody at this station, and I will not finish last, okay? I know I will not finish last. I will not specify who I know for sure that I will out ball know.
Rex Road knows
you
ball.
You put it, fill in your own names.
Yeah, Rex Road knows ball. DK Mount Juliet says, yeah, Titans probably pass on Jeremiah Smith anyway. We don't need him. He's fine. He took Cornell Tate last year. We don't need him.
We got the better Ohio State receiver.
It'll be good. Oh, boy.
Just need to get away from the primary conversation before Thanksgiving being about the draft.
I'd really love to not even really consider talking about the draft until about mid-February next year. It's like, Super Bowl's over. We can start to get into looking at the prospects.
Yeah, college football sometimes sparks draft talk in general, like in terms of, oh, wow, sure, whatever. This quarterback is coming out of nowhere. Oh, actually, Arch is not going, whatever, like stuff like that. Fine. Relative, like overall, here and there, based on college football results, that's fine. But yes, the NFL town talking about their draft, I mean, that should only happen every once in a while.
Yeah.
Some of them, it's just a chronic condition.
A-Dub says, year two is a more realistic jump with this coaching staff and players. I wouldn't expect much this year with O-line and depth. I mean, I hear that. I mean, we are just coming off a season where, you know, the Chicago Bears hired a head coach and immediately won the division and got to the playoffs with a second-year quarterback. The New England Patriots hired a head coach, and, you know, regardless of what's going on with him now, did step in with a second-year quarterback and get to the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying the Titans have to, you know, be the Bears from last year or the Patriots from last year, but it's not it shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that you see a pretty significant jump. Like, I guess you and I can define what is a realistic jump to us. I mean, I'm sure that means different things to different people, but a jump is kind of the minimum of what I'm looking for this year. Like, there needs to be a jump. It doesn't have to be winning the division type jump, but you got a jump of some kind that's at least doubling your win total is really not all that negotiable to me. That needs to happen.
Yeah. Like, the examples you just laid out there, I don't expect Cam Ward to be Caleb Williams of last year and, you know, just make these plays that are just outrageous. And again, I'm still keeping an open mind on Caleb Williams and where it goes from here, because there's still some, you know, there's some inconsistencies, but overall it was still like this, oh wow. Or Drake May, who's an MVP candidate. You know, Drake May all year, it was excellent. And, you know, there were some limitations with that team and all that, and they played an easier schedule, whatever. I don't expect Cam Ward to, like, make that kind of jump, but it needs to be significant.
Yeah.
And if it is, it's hard for me to believe the bottom line. That's where, you know, again, I went 7-10, the most optimistic of the bunch. That is somewhat based on the expectation that Cam Ward takes a significant step forward. And if he doesn't, then, yeah, I mean, it's just the conversations are, you can imagine so many conversations.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Someone says I'm a homer and you love me. Thank you.
Well?
Joe's just a homer and I love him.
GB Joe, the Andy Joe, Titan Joe. Any kind of Joe you want, we got here on the program.
That's right. Keith says, remind me, what's the name of Carsey's website? I can never. I don't know, man.
Not sure. I don't think he's ever said it. Yeah, I mean, 7-10, I don't know. If you ask Titans fans right now, would they sign up for that? Like, if you said, hey, the Titans are going to go 7-10 this year, would you take that if you're a Titans fan?
I wouldn't.
I'd probably let it play out, too. But, I mean,
yeah. That
also is a scenario that if it ended up that way, I would not be upset by it. I'd be like, okay, so there's a little bit of progress being shown here.
Yeah, again, it's the question is always like, okay, 7-10 how? 7-10 with like great defense doesn't excite me. But also, yeah, like if I'm a Titans fan, I don't accept that. I'm looking at these teams you just mentioned, and we always mention the Texans, we always mention the Commanders, and I'm holding out hope for that. And frankly, if you tell me 7-10, then that's where as a Titans fan, I'm going to sit there and say, okay, so is that how much better is that than 5-12? And if it's 5-12, well, damn it, I want Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
Well, so look, make it 3-14.
I mean, you're going to run into Titans fans and say, well, if you're going to miss the playoffs, you might as well just be bad and get Jeremiah Smith, right? Like, that's what it is. So I'm not as concerned about that part of it, partly because I think you can still find some pretty good players in next year's draft in the 12
apparently
to 13
it's the greatest
range.
Draft ever. Yeah,
apparently
that's
it's
true.
The greatest thing ever. Yeah. So doesn't matter where they pick next year, they'll be fine. But more important than who they draft moving forward is, like, I need the picks that they've already made to show that they've got a pulse, right? Like, you need to start to see some of those work out and play out in your bottom line. And hopefully not too far into the season, you look at the coaching staff and you say, all right, these guys know what they're doing. Like, they're pretty competent in the coaching staff part of these things. If you're not seeing that, I mean, then you start to look at this organization and you're like, when the heck are these guys getting out of this, right? Like, when in the world are they going to get out of this total just awful football stretch that they're in, which, as we've documented, is ongoing for a long period of time at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you're already there, but, like, you just don't want to be at the loser table with, like, the Cardinals and Browns and Jets forever, you know?
Yeah. Certainly don't want to be.
I mean, right now they're going to get the milk for everybody.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans to get to. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. TD at 8 o'clock, all that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. From kickoff to last call, Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up here in just a few minutes with Joe Rexroad. Teron Davenport from ESPN will be with us at 8 o'clock. Continuing to take your thoughts at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Brian says the Titans are the Buffalo Sabres of the NFL, an eternal rebuild. Hey, only took the Sabres 15 years, baby.
Yeah,
only took them 15 years to get back.
Sabres are feeling pretty good right now.
They're probably about to get put out of the playoffs, but yes, they are feeling
good.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, like,
long-term-wise, they're looking good
moving
forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully it doesn't take the Titans 15 years. It'd be great. And it's been a long time. By NFL standards, it's been a long time already. Let's start to move it up the other way. And it really is, we've talked about it. It really is hard to be this bad for as long as they've been this bad. And just all the dysfunction that's gone on around here. It is, mate. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. When we were talking about the Predators and their search for a GM, and this will be their third general manager in franchise history. This will be their they've had four head coaches, right? So you're talking four head coaches and what's about to be three general managers in the history of their franchise, almost 30 years. And just think of the Titans' last few years. I mean, John Robinson was here not that long ago. And you've gone from Robinson to Carthon to Borgonzi with Brinker mixed in there kind of throughout all of it. You've had Sala. You've had Callahan. You've had Vrabel all in the last few years. Like, the turnover has been insane when you just compare the two franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like one franchise has been, like, way more dramatically successful than the other either, by the way. Like, it's not like the Predators have, you know, four Stanley Cups that they're hanging their hat on either.
Yeah, that reminds me. There was an interesting text today about, you know, bringing up the Sissons and Grandland, because obviously they're playing, like, what would be the difference if the Preds still had them? And to me, I said, like, nothing. I mean, nothing. Like, they'd be mediocre. Like, those guys are not needle movers. But the texter was comparing them to the A.J. Brown and Henry departures. And, again, Henry left. So, like, of all those moves, as I say, like, A.J. Brown is the terrible move. But, yeah, like, you're watching some of these Preds do good things elsewhere and stuff like that, but they're not math changers.
No.
Not at all. I don't remember off the top of my head the exact returns on Sissons and Grandland.
Well, Sissons was a part of the Nick Hague trade.
It was Hague.
Grandland, I think you got somehow a second round pick from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. So that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, that was one of David Poile's last moves, and I remember thinking,
David Poile, you dog. Attaboy. That was boy.
And then Grandland went on to play very well for like the Sharks and the Stars.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Ducks, but again, like, he's not, you know, that's not changing things. But, yeah, that was a hell of a move. That's right. That and the Janot. Woo!
Yep.
Poile coming through in the end.
Yeah. Richie from White House. The bigger question is, if the Titans go 7-10 or 6-11, will Amy fire Mike Borgonzi? No. I mean, I shouldn't say it as confidently as I just did.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But I would have to think no. Like, the only way you're getting into firing Mike Borgonzi territory is if they're, like, bottom of the NFL again, right? Like, if they're 3-14 again and, like, it becomes clear that Ward may not be the guy and these edge rushers that he selected are not making any impacts whatsoever. I mean, even then, like, you're talking another firing at general manager, like, it's a tough sell, but that would be the only way I think you would even begin to consider it if you're Amy Adams Strunk. But maybe I'm overselling stability here. I don't know.
I mean, I think you're probably right. Yeah, but if Ward at the end of year two is we look at him just like we looked at Levis at the end of year two.
Yeah.
Like you said, the edge guys, so there's high picks. The inactivity in the interior of the offensive line blows up in their face. I mean, I'm not sitting here trying to advocate for Mike Borgonzi to be on a hot seat anytime soon. They should see it out. I think that he, you know, overall there looks to be competence there, but those outcomes are still. I mean, those outcomes, if they all go the wrong way, then I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, recent history would suggest. I mean, if you're going by trends, somebody's getting fired. I don't know who it's going to be, right? If you're going by trends, somebody around here is not going to be here in the same position that they're in. I mean, it's been how many years in a row where that's been the case, right? So I need to – I guess at this point, if you're a Titans fan, you need to see it not happen to believe it at this point.
We have seen – you know, we have seen one firing turned into a fake, like, job title. So
it's true.
I mean, they're trying to be creative over there.
That is true. I'm going to make a bold prediction here on May the 15th. You ready for this?
All right.
No major decision maker for the Tennessee Titans will be fired or leave the organization over the next calendar year. Nobody. Saleh's still going to be here. Borgonzi will still be here. You know, quarterback will still be here. I'll even put him in the mix. Ward will be the starting quarterback for the Titans in 2027. I mean, surely we've reached, you know, some point of, you know, I guess, smartness. I don't know what else to put it, that we can move forward a little bit here with the Tennessee Titans.
I think that's a – I don't think that's a crazy prediction at all.
Unbelievable amount of ineptitude if that's not the case.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a crazy prediction. I would – I mean, if I had to bet, I'd bet on that outcome. I'd bet on all these people being in place when they open the new stadium. Because I think that there will be progress this year. I don't know how much. Obviously, I think more than you guys do. And I'm still not, like, expecting some massive turnaround, story of the NFL type thing. But if you have that amount of progress, then I think that you're going to stick with that.
Yeah. I mean, 7-10.
I think you kind of have to.
Nobody's going to get excited about 7-10. Like, it's not like you're going to be a Titans fan at the end of the year being like, hey, all right, 7-10, baby, way to go. But, I mean, that would demonstrate that they're starting to move a little bit here, right? Like, you want them to move further. You want them to get to, you know, 9-8, somewhere in that neighborhood. But 7-10, you're starting to move towards that direction.
Keith does ask a relevant question. What if Borgonzi sleeps on the plane?
Well, then all
That's
bets are off.
That's a great question. I'm assuming he is just absolutely wired out of his mind when they get on that plane.
All
just
bets are off.
He doesn't just have one screen. He's like John Chayka with multiple screens in front of his face.
Except his work. His are actually showing vital information, unlike Chayka's, who just have – it's there for show.
Yeah. I mean, eyelids propped open if you need to be. You know, because by God, if you sleep on a plane, oh my goodness, what a crime that is. I hope you're listening, Kaharsky.
Dave, you cannot let me go to sleep on the plane. Make sure I stay awake.
And if you need to give me a little extra bump in the coffee, go ahead there.
Make sure we don't fall asleep. I mean, the good news for the Titans is they're not flying that far this year. So, I mean, if you look at the schedule, and their longest trip is, I guess, Vegas,
gotta
right?
Fly home from Vegas, yeah, man. So. Late in the year. Don't fall into it.
A lot of
break
noon,
down the film.
A lot of noon games too. So like you know, you're in the afternoon. So by the time you get home, it's still time to go eat dinner.
I know, but those mid afternoon naps. I don't know, man. They call me. I know that. I'm called to the mid afternoon nap. So on a plane too.
Yeah.
After a stressful day of work, can't do it. Absolutely not. That's unacceptable.
Right. That's right.
What a joke. I mean, seriously, that's one of the dumbest things still that I've ever heard.
Look, there's plenty to criticize with Ray Carthon. I don't know that one was at the top of the list.
But there's more to the story.
Oh, okay. Well, you wrote about a freaking nap. I love you, PK.
The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Sounds taking on the Iowa Cubs at First Horizon Park today. First pitch at 6:35. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Social Cantina. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Respect the game!
You think Matt likes that role play?
Let's swap our sweat now.
Yeah, I'm a big swinger.
You give them baby blood?
Down by the river, I shot my baby.
Sometimes it does need to be violence, okay?
Sing us a song, country boy!
I want you to slap me in the face.
You might want to sing.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we're hammering this a lot this week. Take a little bit of a break from the Titans. We'll get back to it with TD at the top of the hour. We're hammering this a lot. And I got to be careful with this. There won't be no names named here, okay? But there's just a lot of everything going on with the farting 24-team college football playoff, including a back and forth Slack yesterday at work. With one of my coworkers said it will be, quote, fantastic. Another one sort of expressed a little bit of like, okay, maybe there's like, it's not just like the worst thing. Like, let's talk about some. And, I will name this name. David Ubbin said, oh my God, they got you too. A zombie bit you. I thought you were going to make it. Like, so I will tell you, it's vastly like 98%. This is the worst idea ever. Stuart Mandel, friend of the show, wrote a column yesterday. I thought it was great comparison. It's like, I forget the movie, but it's like, I haven't seen this movie, but it's like a meteor coming to Earth.
It's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio in it.
The meteor.
Don't look
like,
up.
Don't look up in it, but then they're like, convince them to go mine the meteor for like precious metals, and then it blows up the whole Earth, I guess. I haven't seen this one. But basically, he's comparing that to this 24-team disaster and what it would do to college football, and it's like, is anybody going to stop the meteor, you know? So that's the general consensus. But there are a couple of coworkers of mine, and there are a few people out there. I can name people from other outlets. my God, someone out here. Oh, well, I mean, I'm seeing Tim Brando out here just like, oh, this is great, you know. A few other people too that you even let a glimpse of acceptance of this makes me sick. It is an objectively horrific idea, as we've talked about. ESPN is balking at this now. Fox loves it in the Big Ten. You know, Tony Petitti, Fox, yeah, a lot of inventory for you guys. So you kind of see where it's a, you know, a TV battle, but it's just a terrible idea. Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. The regular season is you can't really do much more here. You do this, and we don't even know the ramifications of regular season yet, but it could be potentially horrific. And yet we have people out here accepting it. I understand that coaches accept it or want it. You know, they're freaking out about their job security and year-to-year re-recruiting their rosters and all this stuff. I understand that it's a hard thing, even though they complain way too much. But this is not going to – again, this is the biggest thing with them that I can't stress enough. Like, people are not going to be like, oh, they made the playoff. Well, it was a great year. Tennessee fans, if Josh Heupel squeaks in at 8-4 in 2 years – with at this point Faison Brandon is his quarterback and he's a great player and there are high expectations for the 2027 team and they go 8-4 and get in the playoff, at that point you're looking at Josh Heupel and saying, how close are we to winning a national championship? You've gotten us to a certain point. Great job. It's time to find someone who can take us to the championship. Because you snuck into the 24, you think Tennessee fans are going to be like, oh, I don't care, we made the playoff, that's great? No, they are not going to say that. Not one of them will – well, okay, not one of them. A few of them who just want everything to be awesome, who sing the Lego song, will say that. But realistic people will look at it and say, this is no different at all than going 8-4 when it was a 12-team playoff or going 8-4 when it was a 14-team playoff. It means nothing. You're not getting us close to winning a national championship, and we want to win a national championship in Tennessee. But these coaches actually think that people are going to look at it differently.
They do.
And anyone in – our line of work who's accepting this idea as anything but a disaster makes me want to puke. But I won't name names.
Preach to the choir here. I mean,
it'll be, hey, get to the playoffs, but then it's like, hey, you lost in the first round of the playoff, you're out.
Yeah.
They think it's going to make them safer to make the playoffs, but some of these teams, losing in the first round's not going to do it for you.
No. If a first round of a 2014 playoff, again, congratulations, you're just a tiny sliver above also receiving votes. It means nothing.
Well, by the way, like, you know, at least before, not that you're thinking about this if you're a coach, but at least before, like, you know, as a 14 playoff, it was like, well, if you don't make the playoff, yeah, the playoff turned into what everybody was talking about, but it was also like it's a very exclusive group that makes the playoff. With the 12-team playoff, it's expanded some. But there's still, like, you can have pretty good teams and not make the playoff. Like, if you miss the playoffs with 24 teams, like, if I'm Danny White or some of these ADs with all the money they spend, like, you're a coach, you missed the 24-team playoff one time, buddy.
Right.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, flip it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, flip it around. And I do think that the 12-team, I think what we saw, like, last year is, yes, like, we don't have – I mean, Kirby's right to a point, right? Like the super teams where your threes are amazing so other teams don't have those guys.
Sure.
It's over. And so I think that we have to look at last year and Vanderbilt and Texas and Notre Dame and BYU and say, you know what? I mean, that could have been a pretty good 16-team playoff. Like those teams, I'm not mad that those teams are in the 16-team playoff, and they are part of the spreading out of talent. And so the game has changed. So the four team in that era when basically that you wouldn't have, like sometimes five or six would be such a huge step back from those teams and would get killed by those teams. It's different now. But dude, 24, it's not getting to that. It's not spreading out like that. The 25th, 26th, 27th best team are not messing with 1, 2, 3.
Well, it's not. It's not the 12.
Then you don't do it.
I mean, the 12-team playoff, I guess, is fine. But, I mean, they're not 12 teams like that, much less 24 teams like that. Like, it's – again, everybody's going to point to Ohio State a couple of years ago. Ohio State, obviously, I mean, they rolled through that playoff and destroyed everyone. And they were, I forget what they were. I think they were the 8 seed that year. It wasn't Tennessee, Ohio State, the 8-9 matchup in the 12-team playoff. So, yeah, the first round of byes, and I think Ohio State was the 8 that year. So it's like, okay, in a 14 playoff, they wouldn't have won, which I've always said. Well, yeah, beat Michigan at the end of the year. You don't have to worry about it, right? You're in the playoff at that point. So, but, like, I hear you on Texas and Vanderbilt and BYU and all those teams last year. None of those teams are winning a national championship. None. Like, none of those teams. Maybe Notre Dame.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, like those teams, I mean, obviously Indiana ended up being a wagon. Miami gave them a great game. I mean, there were, you could look at Miami last year at times and compare them to those teams and you know, compare them similarly, right? I mean, you could, you know, you can. I mean, it's different. Like, there are more teams that are good. But, like, again, let's do this for 20 years. Let's do 12 for 20 years, 30 years. No, we're going to go to 24. And then what the hell's in 3 years later? I mean, it's they're going so fast, it's out of control. Cameron says, but what you're missing is the fanboys and local media in their college towns like Brian Rice will shout down anyone and scream that they made the playoffs or they're competing for the championship. So in their towns, they will get media praise for it. Well, yeah, I mean,
I think you're firstly vastly overestimating the power that the local media has, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that. I mean, you're right. There's some, there are always, especially I think with big time college programs, that you can never do wrong. I mean, like some of the like Butch, you leave Butch alone, and then he's fired. Butch sucked. Yeah. I hated that guy. Like that stuff does get pretty comical, but yeah. I mean, that's just that's built in, right? I mean, I think most fans can see past that stuff.
Coach.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Corey to the program. Corey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Joe, I agree like wholeheartedly with you. I think 24 is way too much. But the reason I think it's too much, one of the reasons is like I just think it waters down the regular season so much so those games aren't as important as what they used to be. Even with a 12 team, it's done that to a bit. But like maybe the silver lining, not silver lining, but maybe the only way that I would go for something like that is if it meant that they do away with the bowl season, because I think bowl games are becoming even more and more and more irrelevant. Players are bowing out of it for all their reasons. It's just not even like worth watching sometimes. So I still wouldn't do it. I would stay with 12 teams, but if it meant something like the bowl season went away with and we didn't have all these just games that meant nothing and players that are sitting out, maybe that would be a small consolation. But I'm with you, Joe. Like, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's too fast. I think it's too much. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Real quick, because I know we got to go, I totally disagree with that. I watch the bowl games. And, yeah, a lot of players opt out, but sometimes you get to watch young players who are playing next year playing the bowl game. I mean, I still want bowl games. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's way down the list of my concerns. But, yeah, I mean, I want bowl
games.
Like,
I'll watch college football if it's on.
Sure. I mean, to a degree.
Don't take it away.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want it to be taken away, but yeah, I mean, the whole thing's a mess. And there's no question it waters down the regular season. The regular season's already been watered down, which is what I've been saying for the jump. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Teron Davenport with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.